You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. One of my very favorite Sunday morning collects is the one we pray on the third Sunday in Advent. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us, and because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Stir up your power, and with great might come among us. It just doesn't get any more profound than that, does it? The Creator joining the created, coming among us, Emmanuel. The Virgin Mary, today's gospel lesson says, found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Who would have ever thought? I mean, it isn't so hard to believe there is a Creator. How else can you explain creation? I mean, come on, really? Could it really have all just randomly happened? Consider, for example, the Earth and Moon being the exact right size to maintain gravitational balance, positioned the exact right distance from the Sun to sustain water and life. When our daughter Evelyn was a senior at Sewanee, she sent me her final paper for a philosophy class where she was making this very point in her argument for the existence of God. I pulled it out recently when preparing this sermon. She wrote, "Once we realize just how perfect the universe is, we're able to realize just how unlikely it would be for it to come together in such a perfect and precise way without a creator." The cosmological constant, she said, is a term in Einstein's equation of general relativity that, when positive, causes space to expand, and when negative, causes space to contract. If the cosmological constant were too large, space would expand so rapidly that stars and galaxies couldn't form, and if too small, the universe would collapse before life could evolve. And this is the part that really gets me. To provide an idea of how precise the cosmological constant is, here she's quoting someone else. It would be like throwing a dart at the surface of the Earth from across the universe and hitting a bullseye less than 1/1,000,000,000 of a trillionth of an inch in diameter. She goes on to reference the anthropic teleological argument, some other complicated things. Neither science nor philosophy were ever my strong suit. And finally summarized with this: although these facts do not prove that God exists, they do provide enough evidence to conclude that it would take more faith to believe that God does not exist than to believe that God does exist, and that there is a divine creator behind the universe. All of which is, again, to make the simple point that it really isn't all that difficult to believe there is a creator. I'm with Evie. It takes more faith to believe there isn't a God than to believe there is. Because like Paul argues in the first chapter of Romans, all creation points toward the creator and bears witness to God's existence. But for that creator to come among us? Now that's an entirely different proposition. In the 1990s, musical artist Joan Osborne had the big hit, One of Us. It was all over popular radio stations, ultimately receiving like 7 Grammy nominations. The lyrics went like this: if God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to his face if you were faced with him in all his glory? What would you ask if you had one question. And it continues, what if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. It has a real catchy tune, and she has a beautiful voice, but to be sure, the song isn't as reverent as something you might hear on a Christian radio station. Maybe why it got so much attention. It continues, just trying to make his way home, like back up to heaven all alone. Nobody calling on the phone, except for the Pope, maybe in Rome. So again, a little irreverent maybe. But in this song, she is asking the question that Advent and Christmas answers, isn't she? What if God was one of us? What if? During the season of Advent, we sing, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And because of the incarnation of God, God with us in Jesus Christ, Christians are assured that God cares for us way too much to just watch us from a distance, to quote another 1990s song. And truth be known, this is for me the most amazing claim of Christianity, way more amazing than the resurrection. Now, don't get me wrong. The real bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the cornerstone of our Christian faith, the hinge upon which it all swings, because the resurrection authenticates everything that Jesus ever said and did. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. We are still in our sins, and we are of all people most to be pitied. Certainly, the resurrection is the most important aspect of our Christian faith, but for me, it just isn't the most amazing. Because why couldn't the God who created everything that is, including natural law, why couldn't that God raise Jesus from the dead? To me, that just doesn't seem like that big of a deal to the one who created everything that is. But for that one to take on human flesh and become one of us, now that is a staggering, sobering thought, is it not? Why would God do that? Well, as you might expect, theologians throughout the centuries have written volumes and volumes of books on that very topic. In the 11th century, Anselm, then Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote an entire treatise surrounding that very question. In Latin, it was titled Cur Deus Homo, which translates, why did God become man? One of the most popular explanations put forth by theologians from every generation is that God became one of us to assure us that he wasn't watching us from a distance, but was rather intimately concerned about and involved in the workings of this world. And the power behind this explanation for the incarnation is the power of empathy. Empathy, of course, is the ability to not only recognize someone else's pain and grief, that's sympathy. Empathy is the ability to really identify and relate with someone else's pain and grief. And this is honestly when and where I think we most acutely experience God's presence among us today within the community of faith. During life's more difficult moments, in the loving support of brothers and sisters in Christ is palpable. But as Anselm went on to explain in his treatise, empathy is better understood to be a result of the incarnation rather than the reason for it. In other words, Empathy alone doesn't answer the question, why did God become man? We actually affirm the reason God became one of us every time we say the Nicene Creed, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven. As it says in 1 Timothy in the comfortable words, this is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As the author of Hebrews explains, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, he had to be made like us in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Again, who would have ever thought that the God who created everything that is out of nothing, the one who set the stars in motion and is responsible for the miracle of life itself, that God would become one of us in order that he might personally atone for the consequences of our sin, being wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. As my favorite Christmas card says, coming to pay a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Who would have ever thought? Dear people of faith, if everyone in your family is doing well and life is currently all that you could hope for it to be, then praise God. But if you are one who approaches the manger and the miracle of Christmas this year with pain in your heart because of loved ones who are gone or sick or lost, or because there is some other dynamic in your life that is causing you grief, please know this: the good news of the incarnation of Christmas is that God did become one of us and can therefore empathize with all of our human pains and struggles. But more importantly, God is not only interested in and can empathize with our pain and suffering, he came for the purpose of providing a solution for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, which is why Christmas is merely a first step on a journey that ultimately leads to a cross and an empty grave, because that is where sin and death were ultimately defeated by God, by the one born that first Christmas day in the city of David, the Savior, who is Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.